Parshas Vayishlach, if one looks into the breakdown of the way Torah was organized, Chazal tell us that in Parshas Shemois was really where the Torah should have begun. HaChidush is Elachem, Yerosh Chadoshim, the mitzvah, not Parshas Shemois, Parshas
Lishra,
Bo.
Parshas Boy. HaChidush is Elachem, Yerosh Chadoshim, the mitzvahs of Rish Chidesh, and the mitzvah called Pesach. In other words, this is where the Torah began in Parshas Boy. I'm not confused, this is Parshas Vayishlach. But the idea is that Parshas Boy begins the workings of the Torah. The shop opens for business. Okay? If one looks in the Chinuch, and one looks in the Moyne HaMitzvahs, there are three mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis. There are three mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis. As we all know, the first mitzvah is a mitzvah of Pru Revu, to have children. The second mitzvah is a mitzvah of Bris Milah. And the third mitzvah is that of Gid Hanoshe. Gid Hanoshe, as we'll see soon described in this week's parasha, is a issa to eat from the sciatic nerve, to eat a certain part of the animal, to remember a story that happened with Yaakov Avinu. Okay? So those are three mitzvahs brought in Sefer Bereishis that is somehow supposed to open us up and introduce us to everything else that is in Sefer Shemois, which means the workings of the business. In other words, let's understand this better. Every successful business, you know, it's got to begin with a solid plan. It's got to get a description of the objective, the strategies, the financial forecast. That is a basic business. However, the way I see it, again, I on a very, very simplistic manner, a business has got to have three factors before it actually opens up shop. Number one, it's got to have venture capital. It's got to have venture capital. You've got to have money coming in order to create a cash flow in order to build the business. You've got to have venture capital. Number two, you've got to have a good management team. Okay? Got to have a good management team. And number three, you've got to have a very good business model of how to navigate and how to deal with different stresses of competition, of financial disaster, and how to get around, you know, the problems that every business faces. I believe that is the three mitzvahs in the Torah. The first three mitzvahs. The first mitzvah in the Torah is Pru Revu. Pru Revu is basically venture capital. You're trying to get, you know, there's a mitzvah to create individuals, to create human beings. You need venture. It's impossible for the world to run with all the mitzvahs, with chesed, with anything, with baking matzahs. You need human beings. And therefore, basically, you need venture capital. You need people to be born and a mitzvah to create a population. And that's the first mitzvah, Pru Revu. The second mitzvah is a great management team, Bris Milah. Bris Milah is identifying Jews other than the other nations. It's a sign of who's Jewish. It's a management team taking responsibility for the world, showing that we are different, and even in creating a very visible sign on our own bodies to show that we are Jews and we are the managers of this world. That's a management team. The third is Gid Hanoshe. Gid Hanoshe is survival. Gid Hanoshe is showing us how to survive Godus. And without those three things, we can't even begin with Sefer Shemois that talks about doing the mitzvahs or opening up shop. We need venture capital, we need a great management team, and we need survival, we need a very good business model. How does Gid Hanoshe teach us that? So let's look in the parasha, Parashas Vayishlach. We have here a very, very fascinating parasha, and we see how each one of the Meforshim explain the parasha in different ways and bring out a phenomenal concepts of understanding how we can survive Golos, how we can survive our own personalities. Let's see the parasha carefully. In Perek Lamed Beis, here's some Chumashim.
Gid Hanoshe is a business model?
Gid Hanoshe is surviving. It's a business model, yes. The Pasuk says as follows. In Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chof Dalet. Vayikochen vayavrim es hanocha vayavre es hashaloi vayivose Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov Avinu remained by himself. Yaakov Avinu went across the river to get, as Chazal say, a few pachim katanim, a few little pots that he left over there. And he remained alone. Vayaovek ish imoy adolos hashachar. And he was attacked by this ish. Ish, the Mepharshim explain, is a malach, the Sorishal Esau. And this Esau followed him, Vayaovek ish imoy adolos hashachar, and he followed him until alos hashachar. Vayarkila Yochaloi, and this ish, this malach saw that he could not vanquish Yaakov. Vayiga bekaf yerechoi, he touched him on his kaf yerech, on his hip. Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov, and the hip became dislocated beher ofke imoi when he fought with him. Now, on this particular pasuk, there's a few ha'oros. Number one, why does it say Vayarkila Yochaloi Vayiga bekaf yerechoi? Yeah, in other words, it talks about the fight in the pasuk beforehand. The Ovik Ish Imoi, the man fought with him, i.e. the Malach fought with him. And then it says, the next pasuk, Vayark Leyocheloi, and his hip became dislocated, again, Behe Ofkoi Imoi, when he fought with him. It's just talking about fighting with him. And obviously it's clear that his hip became dislocated from fighting with him. Why it's a double Oshon Behe Ofkoi Imoi again? Okay? Let's carry on. And the Malach says, Shalcheini ki Olah HaShachar, send me away, because the Olah Amad HaShachar, Mefarshim explain, he has to say Shiro. I'll not send you away unless you give me a blessing. And the Malach said to him, Mashmechel, what is the name? My name is Yaakov. Your name is not Yaakov, give me Yisrael, because the name is Yisrael. Kisariso im Elohim, you fought with a Malach, im Hanoshim Vatuchal, and you survived. What's your name? Why ask my name? Okay, last year we discussed what's this whole thing. Why are you asking me my name? What's he so embarrassed about? Okay. Now listen carefully. They call the place Pniel. Upon him, I saw Hashem face to face. Pniel, like Pnekel, the face of Hashem. Nafshi, and my soul got saved. The sun began to shine. Kashova es Penuel. From Peniel to Penuel. For mm-hmm. And he was now found to be injured on his hip. So what happened over here? He was injured all the way 5 psukim beforehand, but doesn't actually say how Yaakov was affected. Only 5 psukim later, when he talks about when the sun shone, then Yaakov seemed to identify a fact that something actually happened to him. And his hip was dislocated, something he'd never realized beforehand. Why didn't he realize that beforehand? What's the idea over here before, calling it Pniel, and now calling it Penuel? Carries on the apostle. Al-Kain le-yoichlu b'nei Yisrael is a gid anoshe, and therefore, Klal Yisrael is not either gid anoshe, asher al-kaf yerech, that is on the hip, adar yoyim hazeh, ki noga b'kaf yerech Yaakov b'gid anoshe, because Yaakov was attacked, and his yerech was touched, begid hanoshe, begid hanoshe. Ask some of Farshim again. Why talk about Al Kain Yerech Mnei Yisrael Gid Hanoshe? So what? Yaakovina got attacked. Big deal. Then what's Pshat Asher Kafi Yerech? Ki Noga Bekafi Yerech Yaakov, begid hanoshe. Again, it's a seemingly repetition. What's the idea over here? What's going on over here? So let's go through his parsha very, very carefully. Yeah. Let's go through this very, very carefully. This ish is, who's this ish? Sarshal Esav is basically the koyach hatuma, the koyach of goyim, the koyach of fighting against anything ruchni. Okay, they're fighting against Yaakov Avinu. Ask some Chofetz Chaim, how did Avram and Yitzchak manage to get away from this fight? Why did the Sarshal Esav only begin to fight with Yaakov Avinu? Avram Avinu was a muda chesed, Yitzchak was a muda yira, and there's no fight there bechlal between any Malachim and Avram and Yitzchak. Yaakov in the suddenly is the one that they fight against. Why? Why wait so long that Klal Yisrael should be so established, Ruchnius should have such a strong rooting in the world of in the world of Kiruv? Everyone knew about Yiddishkeit already, everyone knew about Avram and Yitzchak. Yaakov, that's where you attack it. As soon as Avram Avinu starts off, that is when the Malachim should attack him. How did they get away with it? How come no Malach fought Avram and Yitzchak only with Yaakov? Secondly, why dafka the hip? If this is a fight for the death, you know, you don't see people walking around with protective trousers. Yeah, they walk around protective vests. Why? Because you have to protect the vital organs. Right? So, in other words, if you're fighting for the death over here, it's a fight between Esav and Yaakov, a fight for the death, then, you know, you should try and get to his heart. Try and stab him. Try and get for his throat. Why is this he gets for his hip? Big deal, he got his hip. You know, it's not a very strange thing to go and attack. You know, people have a fight. Oh, you should see what he done to the poor fellow's hip. It doesn't happen. Well, what's the idea of getting his hip? What's the idea behind that? So the Chofetz Chaim says as follows. He says, the Avraham Avinu, as we all know, as you just mentioned before, the Avraham Avinu was Chesed. Yitzchok was Avoda. Yitzchok Avoda, he was Yira. He literally stuck his neck out for Kodesh Baruch Hu's Avoda. I mean, that was what Yitzchok represented. So he says, the Chofetz Chaim, he said this in Yiddish, it's out nish the Yitzchara. It does not bother the Yitzchara. Oiva Yid fast and wait the ganze tog. It does. The Yitzchara does not care if a Jew cries and faint and fast the whole day. What's out him? What bothers him is, oh, if he sits and learns. If he sits and learns, that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Avraham Avinu was a muda chesed. Says the Yitzchara, you know what? You want to build a huge hospital? You want to build a huge chesed organization? I'm not going to stop you, Gesundheit. That doesn't really affect me that much. Okay, I can deal with it. It doesn't necessarily affect me that badly. You want to build a huge, beautiful base medrash, a base knesses, a shul with chandeliers where there's a voida of Yitzchok. You know what? Okay, not really that happy, but you know what? I'll keep out of it. What bothers him? Yaakov Avinu represented Torah. Yaakov Avinu was an Ishtom Yeshev V'Holim. He was somebody who represented Torah. He is somebody who was a Talmud Chacham. That the Chofetz Chaim says the Yitzhara cannot possibly allow to go through. Why? Because he felt successful in the learning. Klal Yisrael at this stage and only at this stage has a real future. Rabbi Chanan says, by the time of the Beis Hamikdash got destroyed, it says the Nevi'im went to Rabbeinu Shleilim. Why was it? And the Navi says, Al-Zavtim Esterossi. Al-Ozlom Esterossi left the Torah. Says Rabbi Chanan, what are you talking about? The time the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed, there's Gilah Arayis, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. There are three cardinal sins: murder, immorality, and Avodah Zarah. And adultery. So why, how can he possibly say it's because of Bittul Torah? Says the Gemara, Vita HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mavater. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, turns a blind eye to a certain extent on no three terrible averis, but does not turn a blind eye to Avodah Zarah. Why, says Rabbi Chanan? Because he says every war, Bittul Torah. He does not turn a blind eye to Bittul Torah. Why? Every war has certain times where one side wins the other side. There's different battles, but at the end of the day, when one side wins the other side, the next day the other side can win back. And it's pushing and it's pulling and it's pulling and it's pushing. When do you know that the war is over? When one side has managed to take the ammunition of the other side. They've got nothing left to fight with. If a person serves a Avodah Zarah, the Yetzirah has won a battle. If the Yetzirah manages to get a person to serve idols, he's won a battle. If in person, Yitzchak Rabbeinu managed even to get a person to murder somebody else, Rachmana Litzlan, you know what? He's been successful. But he has not actually won the war. How do you win the war? By making sure people don't learn Torah. If a person doesn't learn Torah, there's no future. There's no hope that a person will ever change, and there's no hope that a person will ever go back and become a real Torah individual that will actually be focused on reality. That is how the Yitzchak wins. Asher Hazatim Es Torossi, if you leave the Torah, that is a Churban. There's nothing left. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Says Chofetz Chaim, what's the Malach doing? The Malach says to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, I can't have you learning the Torah. I can't have you. What is this? You want Torah? You know what? Keep the Torah. But what you can't have is, I'm a Sorishal Esav. I represent Esav. I'm his lawyer. You want the brachas. You want Gashmis as well. You can't have it. You can't have it. You want Olam Abba? Have Olam Abba. I'm Olam Azeh, and I'm keeping all the brachas. You have no right to keep the brachas. Says Yaakov Avinu back to Esav, or the Sorishal Esav, what are you talking about? I'm not keeping the money in order to live up a good day. I'm keeping the money in order that I can sit in Kodesh and learn. Says the Pasuk, Vayarki lo yochaloi. The Malach saw that Yaakov Avinu was right. Lo yochaloi. He can't win over him. He's absolutely correct. If people use money for Torah, that's correct. Lo yochaloi. He can't win. What did he do though? Vayiga bekaf yerechoi. He affected him on his kaf yerech. Says the Zohar Kodesh. What's Kaf Yerech? Says the Zohar Kodesh, Elu Tamchin Doraisa. These are those people who support Torah. In other words, you cannot affect the Tamei Chachamim. He couldn't fight against Tamei Chachamim. But, says Zohar HaKadosh, what the Malach managed to do was, he managed to attack him on those people who support Torah. When? Says the Chofetz Chaim. When was that? Ad Alos HaShachar, just before Alos HaShachar, just before dawn. In other words, at the end of the Golus, Tamei Chachamim will still be learning Torah. And I'll be fighting to keep the Torah. But where is the Yetzer Hara going to try and affect and try and wipe out Klal Yisrael? Going to try by those people who support Torah. The support Torah is like the hip that supports a human being. It keeps it, and it moves it from place to place. It gives him structure, it gives him height. That's a hip. If you affect the person, the hip is in a wheelchair, Nebuch. He's half the size. That supports Torah, that is where the Yetzer Hara is going to try and get to the Tamei Chachamim. Says the Chofetz Chaim, look at the Pasuk. But take a kaf Yerach Yaakov, behe'ofke imoy. Says the Pasuk, even after they affect Yaakov Avinu, he's still fighting on. Behe'ofke imoy, he still fights on. Says the yeshivas, you know what? You can get ignorant people who say, I'm sorry, I don't support yeshivas. That's the Yetzer Hara. You can have a credit crisis. You can have people say, I'm very sorry, I've got to look after, you know, sponsor the penguin. Fine! And Nebuch, the yeshivas suffer. But ultimately, behe'ofke imoy. Klal Yisrael has a school of Yaakov Avinu that they can fight on even if, chas v'sholem, finances are difficult. But the Yetzer Hara, the very survival of the Torah world is going to be shaken by those people who are supporting the Torah close to the time of Mashiach. And if we can possibly fight on in the yeshivas, and number one, daven and educate these people, that it's their best benefit to support Torah. And if chas v'sholem they don't, we can fight on, we can carry on learning. And minimize the support these people give us and be able to carry on with the Mesiris Nefesh, we have a survival. That is why the Malach Dafka went to fight with Yaakov that represented Torah, and why Dafka he represented the hip. That's what Chofetz Chaim's Peshat. So Gid HaNoshe is as potent to us, is as clear to us as ever before. It's a time now where things are very, very tight, very, very difficult, and people have less money. And people obviously say, you know, because I have less money, I can't support Torah as much. Lemaisa though, a lot of it's Yetzer Hara as well. And therefore, we have to daven and we have to make sure that Be'ezus Hashem, our Torah is as least affected as possible. The Ksav Sofer points out a different thing. The Ksav Sofer says, if you look in the Pasuk, it says, Vayeovek ish imoy adolos hashachar. Not sure, Vayeovek. What's Vayeovek? Says Rashi, Vayeovek, Miloshen Avak, from dust. What's Peshat? Says Rashi, Shoyemalim Ofa Bragleim Alidei Nanuim. Because they were wrestling, they're wrestling in the dust, and the dust got kicked up. Chazal say went all the way up to Kisei HaKovod. But the dust is kicking up dust. That's one Peshat. Heofkoi means a loshen of fighting. Heofko from the dust. Behofko imoi. Carries on Rashi, he says, Avak over here could also be from Mevik Loshen and Nivo. Shekein Derech Shnayim Shemis Atzmin Lahapil Ishas Re'eyu. It's a Derech of two people that are wrestling to embrace each other. Shechoibkoi Vo'oivkoi Bezra'oisov. They embrace each other. So here, Ofkoi has two different Peshotim. Either it means dust or embrace. Ask Ksav Sofer, why does it say twice in the Pasuk Be'er Ofkoi? The Pasuk says, the next pasuk says, "Why say twice?" Says Ksav Sofer something which is brought down many, many times, but in this context, absolutely beautiful. He says, "What is the idea over here of using the loshen in the pasuk beheovkoi of fighting in a way of embrace?" Bishlama, if you understand that it had a fight and it kicked up dust, that's from avak. If you understand why you use the lashon of avak from dust, from fighting. But when people fight, what's the concept of embracing? What's the idea of embracing? Why embrace your enemy? Kick him! Punch him! What's his embracing? What are you embracing him for? Yeah? Punch out his headlights! Do whatever you want, but embrace? That's the only thing you do! So why is here Ofka? Why is the Lashon here Ofka by trying to attack him? Says Iksav Sefer, and he doesn't say these words, but we see it all the way through the parasha. Yaakovinu says, "Hatzileni no miyad ochi umiyad esof." There's two ways goyim attack us. There's yad ochi and there's yad esof. There's one way. Let's understand yad esof. Yad esof is very, very simple. Esof arosha, annihilation, persecution, holocaust, inquisition. You name it. What have goyim not done to Klal Yisrael? And they try to kill us and persecute us. What happens? It works to a certain extent. They do manage to wipe out major, major parts of Klal Yisrael. But what happens afterwards? Look at this generation. The Nazis, Yimach Shemom. What didn't they do to Klal Yisrael? What didn't they do? And look at Klal Yisrael, this generation. It's burst back with more power than ever before. And the Pasuk says, B'tzar lechem, and the Kodesh Baruch gives us more tzar. The Pasuk says, and he'll come back, V'shavoy son, he'll come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore the tzar of Goyim think they can annihilate us. And they see very soon that they can't. Says the Pasuk, Vayivosa Yaakov levado veyaovik imoy. The first Peshavi Ovik imoy means it kicked up dust. He fought with us. There were mamish going out there. Ace of Arosh was coming to wipe us out, kill us. What happened? It doesn't work. You can never wipe out Klal Yisrael. So what do? They do the other Vayovik. Biyad Tzilein no miyad ochi miyad esol. They try and befriend us. They try and befriend us. They become friendly to us. There's emancipation. There's reform. There's opening up the universities to us. Loving us to our death. That is the second way of it, says Iksav Sefer. Says Iksav Sefer, what did he do? How did they fight Yaakov Avinu? By embracing him. The fight was by embracing. So the second way of it is a fight of embracing. It was killing him by loving him. That is Esav. You know, I don't know what you felt. And it was interesting to discuss this. Recently, you know, Bill Clinton and his Rebbetzin has a daughter called Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Right? Chelsea Clinton recently, you know, Bill Clinton, not all of you may know this, he was a president of the United States. His wife now is the Secretary of State. Right? Their daughter, the only daughter, Chelsea, married a young fellow called Mark Mezvinsky. Okay? Mark Mezvinsky is a Jew. Okay? He's a Jew, and at the Chasna, you see the pictures of there, the wedding of the year, if it was the wedding of the decade. There's a picture of him standing with his talis. Yeah? And there's a rabbi there, and there's a priest there. And it's a conservative marriage. It's a conservative Jew getting married to, you know, the most unbelievable, high-profile family. Okay? The secular papers were so proud how a Jewish banker managed to court and catch the eye of Chelsea Clinton. Ah! You know? And all the papers, unfortunately, even the secular papers, Jewish papers as well. Well, there's a lot of coverage. What did we feel? What did we feel? Did we feel, oh, look at that, Jewish cop. You know? A bit of pride? Or were we disgusted? That Rahman al-Islam, a Jewish boy with all that kishrin. You know, he's a genius. He must be a very, very bright boy. And he ends up marrying Rahman al-Itzlan, a shiksa. Terrible! But that is what America's doing. America is quietly, Heofka Yimoy, is quietly embracing us to our death. The Nazis killed us in the concentration camps, we bounce back. But what's you know, people say, never again, never again. It's happening. How many people don't even know that they're Jewish? How many people know they're Jewish, but it means nothing to them? Because it's so open up to the universities marrying shiksas. Rahman al-Islam is terrible. And that's Be'ofka Imoy. That's the second Ofka Imoy. With Shlomo Breuer. Shlomo Breuer was the son-in-law of Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Shamshon ben Raphael Hirsch. Okay? He lived from 1850 to 1926. And he started off the Breuer Shul in Washington Heights. A tremendous Iloy, tremendous Talmud Chochem. But he saw Germany in a time where Rahman al-Islam, Germany, was the reform capital of the world. And he says that this, the Pasuk says, listen to this carefully, Rabbi Yisai, Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov, in Pasuk Chavov, Vayarki lo yocholoi, the Malach Kasi couldn't win over him, Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov, and what did he do? He moved his hip out of place. Five Pasukim later it says, Fuhu tzolea al yerechoi, and he was injured. Why does the Apostle not say beforehand, the Kafi Erech Yaakov, and he was injured? Yeah? Why does it only say five psukim later he was injured? Number one. Secondly, why one place does it say Pniel and the next pasuk say Pnuel, as we asked before? Says a broyer like this. Says a broyer that beforehand there was a physical fight between Yaakov. It's very, very similar to Ksav Sefer, just a little bit of a twist. There's a physical fight between Yaakov and Esau. And you know what? Yaakov Avinu says a pasuk, but take a kaf yerech Yaakov off game way. He got injured. Yeah, something happened to him. Yaakov didn't even bother him. How many times through Jewish history have we been beaten up? How many times through Jewish history have we been battered and beaten? No, hundreds of thousands of times. You know what? Jews get up again and they move on. It doesn't really have a long-standing effect on them. That's the way we are, unfortunately. Doesn't do very much. Later on, says the pasuk, "Vayizrach loy hashemesh." The sun came up, the warmth, a new day, a new age. Jews can be welcomed into our universities, they can become our prime ministers, they can become our presidents. Vayizrach loy hashemesh, a new age came up. Then, Fuhut Saleh Ali Rechoy, he was Saleh, then he realized, oi, this is dangerous, I'm injured. I never realized how injured I was. Was Pshat, the Pasuk beforehand said, Bikra Yaakov Shem HaMokoyim Pniel, Pniel means Pnei Kael. I can see the Rabbeinu Shloilam. I have absolute clarity where Kodesh Baruch Hu is. Pnei Kael. Says the next Pasuk, Vayizrach Lo Hashemesh, when the sun shone, and a new emancipation came out, a new age came out, when Jews were accepted, says the Pasuk, Pnuel. Then, Ponu Kael, Kodesh Baruch Hu has pushed aside. He's left. Ponu Kael Hashem has left us. Then Yaakov Avinu is injured. Then he realizes this is ongoing. This is something I'm really going to suffer from forever and ever. Physical attacks, we can deal with. Rachman al-Litzan, it's very painful, it's very sad. You know, it's tragic. But it's something that we can get up from. But the Yizrach Lo Hashemesh, when the sun shines on us, and it's a new year, a new life, a new time for Jews, a new epoch for Jews, then the danger is of Pnu'el, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves us, and Hutzleh Lirecha, and he's injured forever. Gid HaNosher is a pasuk warning us in Golus to be careful. Be careful, don't become too involved in Western society. Don't become too involved in secularism. Rav Victor Miller, many, many years ago, heard a tape from his in the 1960s. Okay? Maybe early 1970s. My father, no, I didn't hear it in 1960s, but my father had his tapes from almost from the beginning. He said you should just be careful. People in American universities are not marrying, are marrying Muslim girls and Muslim boys. They're marrying Arabs, they're marrying out. Because no, they're very friendly and everything else. He said you should just wait. In years' time there'll have to be something that'll rip the Muslim world apart from the Jewish world. So there'll have to be something called, you know, the Intifada, but this can't last very long. The more you get together, the more you connect, Rahman Sam with Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got to warn us. If we don't make Kiddush or Goyim, make Abdallah. That's it. And that's Gid HaNosher. Gid HaNosher is all about being aware and understanding clearly, Vayizrach Lo Hashemesh, when it's all warmth and all friendly and all cuddly, that is where the danger is forever and ever. We can never, Chas V'Shon, get out of that. So there's two concepts over here. There's Vayo'ovik and Vayo'ovik. There's one fight of a physical fight where there's dust flying, and the next fight was a fight of to death with an embrace. That is the second pshat I want to bring down over here. The third pshat is from the Chinuch. The Chinuch says in Mitzvah Gimel, differently to the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer says it's a warning. The Chinuch says it's a word of encouragement. Says the Chinuch, Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah, the source of the mitzvah is Kadeshi Remez Li Yisrael. It should be a remez for Klal Yisrael. She'af Pi She'yisvalu Tzoros Rabbis Begolius, even though they're going to suffer so long in Golus. Miyad HaAmin, from the hands of the Goyim. U'miyad B'nei Esav She'yu Ba'achim Shaloi V'ovdoi El Lo'olam Yamoid Zaroi. Okay, etc, etc. V'yavoi V'yovoi Lehem Goyil in Mashiach will come V'yigolem Miyad Tzor, and will save them from the enemies. Ubezichrein zeh tomid inin zeh al deh hamitzvah shtir lezikoron. And this is a mitzvah for omdu ba'um nosehem u'sidkosin lo'ilom. In other words, he says that Gid HaNosher is all about going fighting with Yidden. It's about Sarushal Esau fighting with Klal Yisrael. And what happened in the end? We survived. And what happened then? Kein Yizrach le'ashemesh al Mashiach. The sun, the light of Mashiach, will come. V'yirpeinu mitzoreinu and heal us from our tzar. V'yigaleinu amein b'meher v'yameinu. Not the end of the shayt. Okay? And he will give a ge'ula to us b'meher v'yameinu. So he says, in other words, here we're talking about a representation of hope. Gid HaNosher is a representation of Klal Yisrael being able to survive Golus. That we have so many things going against us, but the Maisa, if we fight, and the Elishan keep by our Munna and B'tochen, Rebbein Shlein, we send Yisrach Le Hashem Eshel Mashiach, and we'll survive. I want to go one stage further. There's a beautiful, beautiful word I saw. The Apostle says, Vayizrach Loi Hashemesh. Okay? Translate. And the sun shone for him. So the Gemara says that this. Omer Rabbi Akiva. She'alti is Rabbi Gamliel v'es Rabbi Yeshua be'itlis shel I can't read it here. Amiyis. I'm not sure what the word is there. She'holchu likach behema le'mishne b'nois Rabbi Gamliel. I asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in this certain itlis, in this place, in this butcher place where they had meat, on the way to buy an animal for the mishter, for the chasna of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. Ksiv v'yizrach loy hashemesh. The apostle says, and the sun shone for him. V'rak hashemesh loy levad zorcho. Did the sun only shine for him? V'halo l'chol o'ilam zorcho. The sun shone for everybody. And the Gemara answers, I'm not going into what the Gemara answers. The sun made up for the time it shone before. Okay, no, that's not important. Ask the Bani Musa, why is it important to give this whole introduction? Just say, ask Rabbi Akiva, what's Shav Yisrach Le Hashemesh, and the sun shone for him, and shone for everybody, answer the Gemara, what the Gemara answers. What's it saying over here? Is it going through the Itlis, is it going through the market, and you're buying an animal, and we ask it, what's that important? Why does that change the facts? So Darkin Musa says a nice word, Yaakov Naiman says that, see, even people when they're going in a marketplace negotiating and still talking Torah, he's got a very nice different shot over there, but I saw a very, very nice word from the Bala Musa like this. And they say it as follows. What was Rabbi Akiva? What was unique about Rabbi Akiva that was not with his friends? And this is brought down many, many times, and of Makkos and in plenty of other places, and Gemara Yuma, that we had times where Rabbi Akiva was walking with his friends in the depth of Golus. And they're seeing the most tragic things happening to Klal Yisrael. A shual, a fox, is leading the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. And all his friends cry. And Rabbi Akiva laughs. And they say, Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? And they say, just like this Nevuah will be Mekuyim, the Nevuah that Mashiach will come will also be Mekuyim. And this is brought many, many times in Shas. Rabbi Akiva, in the time of the Churban of Churban Beis Hamikdash in Gemara Yuma, Ashreichem Yisrael mi matar eschem. Do we need a Beis Hamikdash? Hakadosh Baruch Hu's matar us. They're all crying and he's laughing. Says the pasuk, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. Says Rabbi Akiva, what's Vayizrach lo Hashemesh? What's going on over here? Rabbi Akamlili, you're going now to buy a behemoth for your child's chasna. Why are you so miserable? Why are you so sad? You're making a chasna tomorrow. Answers Rabbi Gamliel. What are you talking about? Where are we? What generation are we in? We're in a generation where the Romans are slaughtering us. It's a holocaust. I'm making my child's chasna. Who knows if my grandchildren will survive? I should be happy. This is terrible. Says Rabbi Akiva, I want to tell you about Torah. Vayizrach le Hashemesh, and the sun shone. Did it just shine for him? What's Pshat over there? Pshat is Yaakovina, what did he not go through? He went through from when his mother was still pregnant with him, he was fighting with Esau. And eventually he had to run away from his own parents' home, and he had to go to Lavan, who swindled him again and again. What didn't he go through? Eventually, says a pasuk, eventually he built up a beautiful family, and Vayova Yaakov Sholem, Yaakov came whole. Says a pasuk, Sholem begufoi, his whole in his body, Sholem b'mamoinoi, Sholem b'tirosi, he came absolutely whole. Says Rabbi Akiva, Vayizrach loy Hashemesh. Over here, Yaakovina saw how the sun shone for him. You've got to see that even however bad things are, Vayizrach loy Hashemesh, you've got to see that there's a sun shining for you. There's a Shkocha Protis for you. That ultimately, at the end of the day, everything will be okay. That's what the mitzvah is according to the Chinuch. The mitzvah is to remind us, in the Golus, when everything is going terribly, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh, that the sun is going to shine for us. There'll be a new dawn. There'll be a new beginning. Klal Yisrael will survive. And therefore, Ebba is going to be the Yizrach Lo Yashemesh, a Shemesh of Mashiach will come along and Ezra will bring us out on Golos. That's the third Peshat. So the first Peshat is, it's to remind us about being Mechazik Torah, to support Torah, and not to Chas V'Shalom take away and affect those people that support us like the hip. And that's why the Malach Dafka fought with Yaakov. That's the Chofetz Chaim. The second Peshat is, like Rebroya says and the Ksav Sefer says, it's an idea and understanding of how secularism is more dangerous in a way than Chas V'Shalom annihilation. Okay, simulation is more dangerous than annihilation. That's the second Peshat. The third Peshat is actually the word of hope. That however bad things are, Mashiach can come and Mashiach can bring us out of all this. Very, very, very brief. I'm over time with here. Very, very briefly. If you look in the Hamak Dover, I'm not going into all the depth over here. I haven't got time. But the Hamak Dover says, the Netziv says a very powerful Peshat. If you look in the Parashah, the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Chavov, Vayarkele yochaloi v'yiga bekafi reichoi. But take a kaf Yerach Yaakov behe ofke imoy. We asked the beginning of Shir, why does it say that he damaged him? And then the Pasuk says behe ofke imoy when he fought with him. The Pasuk previously said he was fighting with him, that's why he got injured. Says the Hamak Dover that he was not injured as long as he was on the defense. Look at the Pasuk carefully. Beautiful Pshat. Vayarki lo yocholoi. He saw he couldn't fight over him, so what should be then? That's it. You can't win. Off you go. So the Malach sort of made, okay, I'm out. I'm off. Vayiga bekaf Yerach Yaakov be'ofke imoy. When did Yaakov become affected? When Yaakov started making an offense on the Malach. Do you see it? Mamash Pshat in the Pasuk. So when the Malach was fighting with him be'ofke imoy, vayala yocholoi, he couldn't affect him. But then the Malach said, okay, that's it. White flag, I'm out of here. Then Yaakov gave him a good zetz, right? And he was on the offense, and then the Malach was able to get him. Says in the Tziv, this is a Musa Haskel. When somebody attacks you, by all means defend yourself. By all means stand up for your rights. But once it starts, you're on the offensive, even if it's a Sorishal Esav, you should know you'll be affected by it. You'll suffer from it. Don't go on the offensive, go on the defensive. If a person's backed off, he started to be backed off, that's it. End of battle, end of war, move away. If you start fighting him, even if it's a social Aesop, you want to give him a good hiding. Once and for all, get rid of the social Aesop. No, that is when he gets affected. Why? So why did he get affected on his hip? Yaakov Vina was the total epitome of... He's bringing the Lashon over here. Second. Of Ahav Shalom. Yeah, Yaakov was Ahav Shalom. He loved Shalom. And therefore, what is a hip? The hip is a derech, the mahalach of a person, how he walks. If Yaakov Vinu was so careful about Shalom, therefore, and he started changing from his minhag, his derech, that is why he got even more affected than anyone else. In other words, his minhag was about being Ahav Shalom. Therefore, the fact that he went and did something that was against what he usually stood for, that is why his hip got affected. That is his mahalach, the way he goes. What does he do in life? What he does in life is Ahav Shalom. Your derech, you yourself contradicting your own derech, that deserves to get affected. And the Pasuk says at the end, that's why it says, Akein lo yoichol bein shalom segid anosheh. That's why Klal should not eat good anosheh for two reasons. Asher al kafa yerech. Why? Kinoga bekaf Yerech Yaakov. Because Yaakov didn't change his derech. Kinoga bekaf Yerech Yaakov, he hit his hip because he did something that was not his derech. And therefore, any time a person changes from what he's good at and what he's makbid about, he's going to get more affected than anyone else. Number one. And also, begid hanoshe. What's gid hanoshe? The Gemara says, la'olam al yehe odom kosher kegid. A person should never be hard like a gid, like a sinew. Very only should be rach kakone, should be soft like a reed. This is a pasuk says the Hamak Dover, the Netziv, is another reason why Klal Yisrael should not eat the gid anoshe. The idea is be soft, be gentle, don't be on the offensive. Somebody attacks you, be on the defense, not on the offensive. So the first Peshat is, as we mentioned, it's the idea of the Chofetz Chaim that talks about of supporting Torah. The second Peshat is Ksav Sofer, and Reb Broya is a concept that we discussed as well about being worried about the embrace of Esav, The third pshat is, it's an encouragement for the golus and for our own personal golus, person going through a difficult time. Remember, if you do what you have to do and you carry on fighting through it, then ultimately there'll be a time when Zorcha lo yashemesh, the sun will shine. And the fourth pshat is, as an Nitziv just brought down, is a Gid Hanosher that shows us that in life, when people come and attack and people are antagonistic, defend yourself, but then back off. Do not go and go on the offensive. This is the survival plan, not only for Golus but own life, and that is why I believe this is where the third mitzvah in our business plan of Parshas of Sefer Bereishis introducing us to Sefer Shmos.